Good morning, everyone. Happy Saturday. You are listening to Business and Legal Talk with Leo and Claudine. I am your host, Leo Landaverde, and my co-host right here,
Claudine Sharon.
Hey, what's up, Claudine?
Just getting busy.
Happy Saturday.
Yes.
No sleep this week.
No sleep.
Well, the good news is that we're busy, right?
That's a good thing. That's
getting
a good
new
thing.
Clients, signing up. I probably tour the whole state of California once this week.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
So I was looking at my miles for this last week, and it looks like about 3,700 miles, business miles.
Wow.
In 1 week.
Wow.
It's crazy. I've been all over.
That is crazy. I was in Tulare this week. Had to be there for 8:30 calendar. And I thought, oh my goodness, that's a long drive at that hour, which is great. I don't mind the drive. And it was actually really nice to see the sun come up. But I've been on the road too. But it was really nice. I think I must have been, you know, long about Chowchilla about the time the sun came up. And it was a beautiful, beautiful sunrise.
What time were you on the road?
I left at 5. Because I was really worried, because I'm not sure what kind of traffic I'm going to hit coming through Fresno. And,
yeah.
You know, you're on the 8:30 calendar. You better be there and ready to roll. I mean, if you're not there, you're a default.
Wow.
Yeah. And the clients are not really thrilled with that. So I'd rather sit outside the courthouse door.
You'd rather be early.
Yeah.
5 minutes early than a minute late.
An hour. I'll take an hour. I'd prefer an hour.
Yeah. Well, you're a consummate professional.
cannot be late.
God bless you. So, hey, if you're listening to the show, we are very excited. We keep doing this. We keep getting great feedback. We are here to help you, the business owner, who is, regardless of whatever stage you're in business, you need good people on your corner cheering you on, telling you what's up, whether it's business or legal, and that's what we do. I mean, and what has been great and well received about the show is that it's actionable. You know, we're sharing things that are happening in real time.
Right.
In fact, I've decided to, you know, the first segment of our show, we usually talk about what's happening on the business briefing and the legal briefing. So I got some stuff to share with you guys, and I know that on a Saturday morning, as you're going to and fro, probably going to the store, you know, it'd be just good to kind of put a twist on, you know, how some of the things affected in the Central Valley. So I read this week this article in the Wall Street Journal about the death of, you know, we keep saying, you know, retail is dead, right?
Right, right.
And, you know, malls are just disappearing and all them, you know, we've been talking, I think, consistently throughout the show for the last few months that every week it seems like a new retail store is going out of business, right?
Yeah, I'm really bummed out about Dressbarn.
Yeah.
650 stores. They're a great store for, you know, for women to get, you know, comfortable, casual business clothes.
So long as Anthropology doesn't go out of business.
Right.
My wife is very happy there. Here's a plug.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, so, but you would think, right? I mean, this is what I thought. Okay, retail is dead. Amazon came and they just reinvented the whole thing.
Right.
Now, the Costco's will stick around. The Walmart will always be there. But what about the rest of us, right? And here's what I read. Okay, so, what is actually happening, this is according to the Wall Street Journal. So what is actually happening, it's not like it's going away. It says that the death of the brick and mortar stores has been greatly exaggerated. And it's not that it's going away, it's more of an industry transformation. How about that? As the vast majority of sales continue to be made on site as opposed to online. Right? Interesting, especially for groceries, healthcare products, and cars, with e-commerce giant Amazon and others even slated to open as many as 850 stores in the next few years. All that can really be said is that retail is evolving to accommodate new customer behavior, according to the journal. And you know what? Here's the deal. I go to the bigger cities quite a lot, whether it's the Bay Area or LA, which is kind of gravitating usually to LA. And I was at a mall on the West Side Pavilion, or somewhere in West Los Angeles.
Okay.
I came to this mall. I was just there to work for a couple of hours. It went on forever.
Right.
I mean, it was beautiful. It had, So malls is changing. This whole thing, there's a paradigm shift going on in the industry. You're not there longer to shop. We're starting to go into malls to be entertained.
Right, and stay there for the day.
And stay there for hours.
Yeah.
We want to have meals there. We want to go to the movies there.
Right.
We want to play there. And this whole, games and it's basically a destination.
Well, it's interesting because I along those same lines, I think when you see some of the bigger box stores, let's just say, for example, the Walmarts and the Targets that have combined groceries with shopping for, clothes or, oil for the vehicle or whatever it is, because groceries are that product that you really want to buy when you see it, you touch the apples or the tomatoes or whatever.
Now,
it makes,
right.
Yeah, it makes you a little nervous to have, to order your produce. I think by combining them, they kind of capture that's part of the shopper that wants to actually be there and touch it. And then while you're there, you're like, I'll go get shampoo or, clothes or socks or whatever
right.
it is. So they're able to kind of, because they've combined it with that product that people definitely want to have their hands on. So it's interesting that you bring that up about the mall, is that it's the combining of other things with the ability to purchase, where it used to be,
right.
You went in and it was just nothing but purchasing.
Right.
Yeah.
But there is a blending of the online world and the offline, or the on-site versus online. And clearly when Amazon, the leader of online, shopping experience,
right.
acquires Whole Foods. Was it Whole Foods?
Right, right.
Right? They put a stamp, so you're not going to a Whole Foods and you see, the Amazon logo. And it's just blending the two worlds together. And this is what's going to happen. So it was interesting. It was an interesting read. How about this one? I was shocked, but this is according to, what the word on the street is. This is according to the Washington Post. Around 5,400 hidden apps trackers operate in an ordinary iPhone. Let me say that again.
Yeah.
About 5,400 hidden app trackers operate on an ordinary iPhone. Not 10, not 100.
Wow.
It says.
Talk about data collection.
So, with the Washington Post privacy statement found over the course of just 1 week using monitoring software, a range of trackers shared personal details such as email addresses and locations with third parties, particularly overnight, creating a trove of personal data for marketing and political messaging.
Wow. Dun,
dun, dun. While some apps require trackers to function properly, the experiment raises concerns about the transparency of consumer data. Here's what people are saying, right? So it's kind of creepy.
It is very creepy. I'll speak for myself. That generation, we're at that piece of the generation where, computers came along, in my late teens and so forth, but really obviously evolved in my adulthood.
And wait a minute. I was it's about my time too.
like our kids grew up with this technology all, that was just thriving as they were growing up. And so they're very, very accustomed to their life being, involved with the technology and the apps and all of this business. And so for me, it's almost as it's gone too fast that we're just now going, okay, wait a minute, hold on. There's a lot of other things happening here than just me being able to log on to my phone and, open an app and, whatever, read a book or, whatever the app is doing, check my bank balance or whatever.
Right. Hey, listen, I know we got a break coming up. We should probably talk about, introduce the topic that we're going to talk about
today.
And that is outsourcing. Hey, so outsourcing, the good, the bad, and the ugly. What's the verdict, right? We're going to be developing this topic today, and I think you should stay tuned because it's going to be very important as a business owner to know when to outsource.
Right.
So, hey, stay tuned. You're listening to Business and Legal Talk with Leo and Claudine. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Business and Legal Talk with Leah and Claudine. We're having fun here in Power Talk 1360 Modesto and Stockton, just talking about now outsourcing. What is the deal with outsourcing? And, you know, I got to tell you, not too long ago, Claudine, this was a bad word, right? Oh, you outsourced. Oh, my gosh, it's scary. Why are you doing that?
Well, and I think we probably should define what is outsourcing, because I think everybody's got a different version. I know when you and I started initially talking about this, the word kind of triggers a different meaning to different people, and it doesn't necessarily mean outsourcing offshore or to other countries. It, and on a very small scale, it can be outsourcing just simple tasks and projects where you know, you use, like, for our services, there's legal services, there's one legal, and so they will, you know, have renters that will go to the courthouse and pick up documents or file documents and stuff like that. So there's, you know, there's different types of outsourcing.
Yes. Thank you. So sometimes I assume people know, so you're very good at helping clarify. My own definition of outsourcing is anything where the technical competency would be greater elsewhere than have it in-house. For instance, in the areas that are non-core, right?
Okay.
So areas of marketing. If you're not a marketer, then marketing.
Right.
If you're not an accountant, then accounting. If you're a lawyer, any other support areas where the strategy, because let's face it, otherwise you have payroll in-house.
Right.
And you know how that much costs, right?
Right.
And yes, we want to have great, and we want a great employed, great amount of people who we want us to be with our companies for years to come. But the reality is, you know, payroll will be your most expensive cost.
Of course.
So what the paradigm is, now, this is not something that we just came up this decade. It's been quietly going on in corporate America for decades.
Of course, of course.
You know, first when this whole call center started, and that was outside, it's offshoring.
Right.
So when you go, you know, to the Philippines, when you go to India, you know, long before it was a kind of a sexy word, Microsoft was outsourcing stuff for India for a long, long, long time.
Right. Right?
Before everybody else caught up to that.
Right.
Because it's mostly driven by costs, but that is much more than that. So my definition is, if there are areas that I could hire someone that may not be as good as somebody in my non-core area that I could benefit from having them, that's a way to go. That would be at a fraction of the price.
Right. So let me present to you we are in quite a conundrum, particularly in the state of California when it comes to outsourcing, because outsourcing is also known as independent contracting.
Yes, you would bring that. Of course you would.
Of course, because it's one of the biggest legal issues we've got right now facing us as business owners is how do we legally use independent contractors, with the Supreme Court here in California making this big effort to change how we classify people. So we used to classify them on a balancing test, and I think we've talked about that before.
Yeah, the ABC.
Yep, and now we're back to ABC. So what the ABC says is if you cannot be an independent contractor if you are performing the same type of work as the hiring entity.
Yeah, what they call the core business.
Right.
So you're not a lawyer, you know, you're an attorney in the legal work. How can you outsource some of that? If that is your core business.
So that's the question, is can I outsource paralegal work? Can I outsource, court runners? Do they fall under the umbrella of what the hiring entity does?
Who defines that?
Exactly.
Where are we with that anyway?
We right now have competing legislation sitting up in Sacramento, and one side is trying to put into law this ABC test so that we're basically making a huge move just to outlaw 1099 subcontractors altogether.
Say that again?
It's a big effort to just outlaw 1099.
Do away with the whole concept?
The whole concept. Not that they're making it so stringent that very, very, very few times does somebody fall under that umbrella. So for example, as an attorney, if I hire a plumber to come in and do plumbing work at my office, that is the clear example that that is an okay independent contractor to hire. Because the plumber is doing something that nothing falls within the umbrella of what the hiring entity does. So we typically, and even before the ABC test, we would use the construction industry as an example, and they are the classic independent contractor. So you have your general who's running your job.
Right.
And then you...
The prime, right?
Yep, your prime. And then you have your general who hires your electrician, who hires your plumber, who hires your sheetrockers, your painter, and so forth. They hire them, but they are truly independent contractors because each one of those subcontractor trades has their own licensing, their own business, they have
their own insurance,
their own marketing, right, and so forth. And so they are the classic example. So whenever you're looking at using an independent contractor, keep in mind that classic example and think to yourself, how close am I to that example? So in the past, we would work with clients and we would, if they wanted to use somebody as an independent contractor, then we would insist that they be completely set up as their own business. A micro business is fine, just a single person. They would need to get their own liability policy, have their own business cards printed, give the hiring entity an invoice on regular intervals. And so they would truly operate in that spirit. Now we're really in a place where we don't know where it's going to go because one wow, legislation is trying to codify it one way and the other legislation is trying to go back to the old way that we considered it.
Can I read something to you?
Yes.
Ironically, this is such a hot topic that today I got an email from an insurance broker.
Really?
And listen to this. He says, hey, FYI, his California residents work, this is, of course, if you're listening to this and you're outside of the state of California, that doesn't apply to you. But for us here in California, California residents working for companies like Lyft and Uber will get the rights of employees entitled to a minimum wage if workers' compensation under the law the state of assembly passed on Wednesday. The sweeping bill, which now goes to the Senate, carries new standards defining whether workers are employees or independent contractors,
yep,
upending how workers are treated in industries from trucking to the burgeoning gig economy.
Yep.
Hold on, there's more. Under these standards, for example, workers could only be classified as independent contractors if they are free from the control or direction of the employer and they do work outside of the company's usual course of business, which we've been talking about. The measure, Assembly Bill number 5, includes exemptions for some sectors such as physicians and insurance agents. So they're carved out. And this bill is physicians and insurance agents. Democrats and major labor unions backing the bill contend it will protect workers' rights. And he goes on and on and on. So what do you make of that?
Well, it sounds like the new ABC test is halfway to the finish line. And it's going to be interesting to see exactly what industries get carved out, because I know in speaking with some...
What about the realtors?
That's exactly what I was going to. I've been speaking with some of the legal folks within the Association of Realtors in our area and kind of getting their feel. They have always relied on a business and professions code that they got classified under. I don't recall what code it was, what the number is, but I read the code. And essentially it says that, you know, real estate salespeople can be classified as independent contractors or employees. And so they've always kind of apparently used that to say we are statutorily exempt from being classified as an employee, which I think goes a little farther than what the code actually says. But nevertheless, real estate agents are your classic 1099 contractors. But if you read the new ABC rules, and I have not read the legislation that's being proposed, but from what we know of it, real estate agents would fall under the employee classification because they are selling. That's what the broker does. Coldwell Banker is selling real estate. So the salespeople, they're just salespeople, just like a salesperson in any other industry. But they have just traditionally been classified as 1099s. And so interesting that one of the prongs is the control over the employee or the contractor. What kind of control is exerted?
Do they exert? Yeah.
So if you go back to the classic construction model, which is, again, what we've looked to traditionally, your general contractor has some control over the plumber. I mean, the general is responsible for that entire project being done correctly.
Right.
So he does, or she does, provide oversight to the various tradespeople, the subcontractors. So even in the most classic sense, there has been some level of oversight and control that is between the two. Is it's just going to virtually eliminate the ability to use independent contractors.
All right.
And which is sad, because a lot of people really like being independent contractors. They like the freedom. They like paying their own taxes, having their own write-offs.
How many industries can you carve out? I mean, I'm thinking about hairdressers.
Hairdressers have already, we've seen them already start to move to the employee model.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
In our area, for sure.
I think there are at least 2 million realtors in the state of California, I mean, in the U.S.
And, you know, so does this boil down to the ability to lobby? Who's got the most lobbying ability?
Who's got the deeper pockets?
And who,
industry association, right?
Right. How can you carve out, what's the fairness by which we carved out various industries?
And who dictates what fairness is?
Right.
So, wow. Okay. So we digressed. But notwithstanding this whole thing about 1099s, we're talking about if you were to be able to, and you are sound, and it makes sense, I think I'd like to kind of go into some of these articles that I have here. There are advantages. And also, as a business owner, you should look at the good, the bad, and the ugly, right?
Right.
Because it's not a one size fits all kind of situation.
Right.
You have to be, you know, what it is. And so you were talking about this idea that there are areas that you actually have done it yourself, you know, as working together, and a lot of companies are realizing that, hey, wait a minute, I don't have a core competency on this and I need some help.
Right.
Should I go and hire a full-time controller if I don't need one? Should I go ahead and hire a CFO if I don't need one? Well, even if you do need it, there's a cost associated with it.
Right.
So that's something that you've taken advantage of.
Well, and one of the things that you have to keep in mind is there's a balancing act, because the person who you're outsourcing to, they have their own operating costs.
Correct.
They have their business costs, and
right,
they have their profit margin that they also are probably trying to maintain to some level. So usually the outsourcing comes from a place of really wanting to work more efficiently. And it's more efficient if I hire you to make the widgets, because you're really set up to make the widgets. And for me to make, you know, the widgets, it's just, I'm not really set up.
I could
up
be
for
more
it.
Efficient.
Yeah. And so that's really, I think, the balancing test does. And there are several trends, and we can talk about it in the next segment, but there's several legal trends that come along with outsourcing as well, and things you should be looking at.
So, okay, for the record, I'm a huge proponent of this. You know, I strongly believe in it. I have built a business model around it. I think you should too. If you're a business owner listening to this, I think you should be aware of the options that you have, because as coming in as a CFO, I'm always looking for a way to increase revenue and decrease costs.
Correct.
And your biggest cost will always be staffing. And I'm not even talking about cost of goods or the inventory, but your biggest cost, it is going to be staffing. So, hey, if you're curious to know how to make an extra couple million dollars in a lifetime just by listening, you probably should listen to the next segment. All right, we'll be back. We're back. This is Leo. Business and Legal Talk with Leo Claudine. Listening?
I hope so.
Is everybody still listening out there? This is, I mean, hey, I thought last segment, it's not what I intended it to be, but I'm so glad we had the discussion, because this is such a hot topic. So are you a business owner and you're driving to and fro? This is the place. This is what we do. Business and Legal Talk with Leah and Claudine. We are all about figuring out how to squeeze more money out of that dollar and how to help you make more to the bottom line and how to scale profitable, how to be sustainable and how to protect yourself from a million and a half things that can go wrong in this precious state on liability and and undue liability and hiring. And this is what we do. And if you met me, you probably would get a lot more of the same that I am energetic, but I'm also very passionate about small businesses.
Absolutely.
Just like you are.
We're the lifeblood
and
of the economy, of the state.
Yeah.
The state doesn't seem to realize it yet, but you know, but we trudge along.
So, but it is because of our passion that we are telling you certain things. And of course you have to make up your own mind, but I know what it's like to start a company and to not just one, but multiple, and having to worry about meeting payroll and, you know, and paying rent and getting insurance and filing for taxes. So this topic is really comes out of doing it for a long time, you know. So outsourcing. Okay, so let's get back to that. So there are some clear advantages to outsourcing.
Of course.
Okay, so point number one, right? You access to a larger talent pool. Let me give you an example, right? I do accounting and advisory. I know nothing or close to nothing to marketing or branding, but I've done a fairly decent job on my own. But basically, I'm like the blind leading the blind. And then I am so happy that I just brought somebody into our team who is going to take us marketing-wise and branding to a whole new level.
It's so exciting.
With ideas I didn't even think about.
Right.
I mean, I spent 2 hours with, now has become a really good friend of mine who is going to be my secret weapon and pretty soon your secret weapon.
Yeah.
But this is where there is absolutely no way that I would have been able to hire someone like Dave, right? If you're there listening, Dave Martin, shout out to you.
Hey, Dave.
I hope
you're listening.
Hope you're listening. You better be listening. So just because when you look at someone who's been doing it for a long time and it basically stuff comes out of his mouth that you're like, I feel like I should be writing this. This is wisdom.
Yeah. That thought's coming through your brain is, I've got to remember this.
And then he's got, and just as I remember that, he's got somebody
something else
who's taking notes for me already.
Oh, good.
Sean was taking notes, right? And the point is that I would have never been able to bring somebody on board, and I couldn't have paid somebody enough money to have somebody full-time minding my business or marketing. That is the whole point of outsourcing.
Right.
Right. You get somebody great at a fraction of the price.
Right.
Now, if that was the only point I had, I made the point, right? And no matter what the outcomes are, you know, there is the drawbacks, and we're going to talk about those. To me, that is heavy to have somebody like that. But that's just one, right? Not to beat a dead horse, but you don't have to hire more employees, right? And then with every progressive new employee, you fall into this federal and state guidelines.
Payroll costs. I mean, I think every business, if you're not, please start looking at how much is your payroll. What percentage of your gross revenue is it taking up? And do you
need
that?
I know. Language.
Really, I said that threw the GR word in there. Two words.
Yes.
It made you smile.
But
you really do have to be looking at it, particularly once you start getting to a point where you have, you know, more than five or six, because the oversight on five or six employees becomes a little bit of a challenge in terms of managing their productivity. You get to a point where you almost have to have somebody who's managing the that's all they do is manage the productivity of the other folks.
Here's one thing that I've learned, and we are not at the, you know, I recently took an Enneagram. Have you heard of the Enneagram test? Enneagram?
Angiogram.
And it's Enneagram.
Oh, no.
E-N-N-E-A-G-R-M.
No.
So it's a personality test.
Oh, neat.
So it's a big thing in LA right now. It's like everybody's taking this test, right? So I had to take it. And it tells you this like 9 personality profiles. It's really cool.
Right.
And I think you should take it. I'm just curious to see what your personality type. And
I would love to.
You're never just one. You're kind of a blend of a
couple.
Correct.
And the best thing is to be a balanced blend of all of them.
Right.
That's the goal.
The perfect person would be like 1/9 of all nine.
Right. Exactly.
None of us are like that. But what was interesting is that some personality types hate managing people.
Absolutely. No. My policy has been the people fall into, you know, one of two categories. And I know that this kind of narrows it down to just two, but there's project managers and people managers.
Huh. Okay.
Some people really enjoy managing other people and working in the social aspect of it. And then other people really enjoy a project where you take it, you know, you have a deadline, you have certain metrics that have to be met, certain things have to be done, but it's a project that may or may not involve, you know, some people, but it's the project that you're managing to fruition, not people.
So you have this project manager and a people manager. People manager is a skill.
It is. Both of them probably are.
They have different levels of skills, but not everybody can do it. The problem is the more you have, the more it's taxing to the person who is not equipped to handle it.
That's correct.
Right?
When you're in the wrong job.
I have managed people really my entire professional career, but I had to train myself to do that. I was in my personality, I am like a sniper, right? I can travel alone, right? I can, and that's just how I'm wired.
Right.
Like I go into a mission field, you know, I can get my mission done and get out
right.
alive and without having a lot of assets, a lot of people around me. But I had to train myself through my college and through my corporate years how to really manage people. But right. Some people are just naturally gifted and empathetic and they inspect what they expect, but that's not all of us.
No.
So, but if you're not one that can have 10 employees, you shouldn't have that. So there is a benefit. And there's the whole thing. Space. Where are you going to put them
right.
once you hire them, right? Don't you need more office space?
Yes.
And we're just talking about getting more office space. Is it?
We're hunting.
But then it's going to be a little more expensive, right?
That's correct.
So we spend a little more so you can pay a little more payroll and then just increasing your costs. So we want more sales on top of that. So that's we're getting off the topic.
But I'm really good at managing people who don't need to be managed, that work independently.
It just comes to you, tell you, look at all the stuff that I've done today.
I know. Folks who just,
look at all my billing.
That are absolutely inspired by their own job and their own project.
And zero really non-billable time.
That's right. I'm really good at that.
Inside joke. All right. So you don't have to. So the advantage is you don't have to go and hire more W-2 people who you have to take care of. You can access to a larger pool. I have a website that I've used for special projects and these different things. Like if I wanted something to convert or transcribe something or convert to a PDF or just little projects. I once hired someone to help me insert some videos in a website for like $30, but it would have been $150 and little things like that. It's called Upwork.
Right.
So it's www.upwork.com.
O-P.
No, U-P. Upwork.
Oh, like up. Okay.
As in up. Upwork. And it came out of the merger, you know, I think Elance back in the day and Odesk. Remember those two?
Mm-hmm.
But they have people or talent throughout the world. So, you know, I have a client that has, we have development in India. We have people in Canada. I mean, this thing about outsourcing, it's here to stay.
Well,
this is a global economy.
Yeah, absolutely. And with the advent of the technology that we have and so forth, it just is, it's a natural piece. It's a natural flow.
Yeah, so we're in a world economy. So what are the drawbacks? What is the problem?
You ready?
Are you ready?
You ready?
Go ahead, tell me.
The double-edged sword?
Yes.
Which every attorney comes to the table trying to explain the double-edged sword?
Please tell me.
Reliability and quality.
Mm.
How do you maintain the reliability and quality?
How do you do that?
Well, the challenge for the person or the organization that you're outsourcing to, as I mentioned before, they're still managing their profit margin. They're still managing their budgets, their payroll. They also have the same logistics to manage that we have. So then what you need to be looking for is outsourcing particular tasks to an organization that does just the particular task.
Who are good at one thing.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to throw this your way. A few years ago, I was doing research on outsourcing. I came across this law firm. I forget the name. Well, I'm not. I wouldn't say it anyway. In Miami, who I was looking at outsourcing nearshore. So it wasn't. It wasn't really, you know, across the world. It was in Central America. So I was looking, because I mean, I'm from Central America, and I was kind of looking in my own, in our own backyard, a 2-hour flight from Miami.
Right.
And then I found this law firm, the big size law firm that was outsourcing all of the research.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's very common.
Is it very common?
It's very common. But I'll tell you what, you better hope that they're right. Because in our world, we completely rely on our research.
So research is everything.
Research is everything.
It's like the backbone of what you do.
Right. And and some people are very, very good at it. And some people are not so good at it. Some people get kind of wrapped around the axle and they get caught up. And it, you know, hours and hours go by and they haven't narrowed down and zoomed into the issue. Whereas some people are very good at getting to the point, finding the cases, finding the statute, and having it be right on point.
But what if it works? I mean, if it's working, if the company
if it works,
good, how much will you have to pay somebody in the U.S. to do research?
Oh.
Per hour.
Oh, if you want somebody good, probably 30. Probably.
30 bucks an hour?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, 20 to 30.
That's $60,000 a year at 2,000 hours.
Yeah.
Hey, you know.
Well, and the reality is do you have that many hours of research to give to somebody to justify the position?
But if you did, let's say you did. Versus paying someone who is just as good and maybe a subject level expert because that's the only thing that they do.
Right.
And in some other country. Now, do 1099 plays a role if there's somebody that's outside of the U.S.?
No, I don't think so.
It's only for the U.S., right?
Yeah.
So you're beyond that. Anyway, so what I want you to think about as a business owner is starting to think about which areas of your business does it make sense to you to save some money. Get the same stuff done even better.
Right.
But getting it for a cheaper price. So stay tuned. You are listening to Business and Legal Talk with Leah Claudine. We'll be right back. Yes, you are in the right place. You are listening to Business and Legal Talk with Leah and Claudine. So, have we learned anything today, Claudine?
Absolutely. I mean, outsourcing is something that we should always be monitoring and gauging. At what point do we have enough of this particular type of work? Oftentimes, the outsourcing comes when you have a consistent flow of a certain type of work, say, for example, in our industry, it's research. We have a certain need for research, but it's not something that we have a full-time position for. And, you know, then the consideration is not just cost, you know, not just if I outsource it, can I shave a few dollars off of it? Because there are advantages to having that person within your office or your organization, because then you control them, you can control the work quality. So there's a lot of reasons to not outsource it until you need to. But oftentimes, when you need to, is when you have like 80% instead of full time for that amount of work, if that makes sense. So in our world, could I employ a full-time researcher? Probably not. If I had 10 associates, I could probably
There are metrics.
It would justify a full-time researcher. So until then, we use outsource.
Okay, so let's bring it back to, you know, because, you know, you have a law firm and I have an accounting firm, so it's an entirely different business model. And chances are, our listeners, unless they are lawyers or accountants, they may have a different business. So what does that mean to you driving around right now, owning a business, whether it is a plumbing business, you're an electrical contractor, or you have a bakery, you have a restaurant, marketing agency, logistics or ag, whatever your business is, whatever you are in business, I guarantee you that there are areas of your business that you need to think twice. If you're looking at your financials, you should know what your staffing is as a percentage of sales.
Well, you and I did a seminar last week in Fresno, and one of the things that you brought up during your segment, which I think is really, really key. And I'm not.
Thank you very much.
Another shameless plug. No. But, and I don't know that we've actually talked about it on the show, is knowing the value of your time. Knowing the value of your hour.
Say it.
So if you, you should know what your time is worth on an hourly basis, and you should be able to calculate the formula, deconstruct it backwards. You know, how much are we bringing in versus how many hours did I spend doing it? Therefore, my, you know, hourly value is XYZ. And I think when you start looking at it from that perspective and you start to consider, is it really worth my time for me to be running the vacuum around the office and emptying garbage cans, even though it needs to be done? And yes, I can do it. Is it really the best use of my time? And I think that's another way that if you're a business owner and you're out there thinking about it, what can I outsource that will allow me to focus my time, because my time is worth this year.
Great point.
And I can perhaps outsource something else that perhaps I'm not really that good at, or maybe I'm okay at it, but I can get somebody who's really good, really efficient. In my world, it, for example, the work that a really good paralegal does, or a strong paralegal, they do stuff that is completely different than what I do. Mm. I absolutely rely on my paralegals, and my senior paralegal is phenomenal.
Right.
She's just phenomenal. She's just amazing. She's efficient. She gets it done. She gets it done right and gets it done on time. So that is something that I would outsource if I had the ability to. Obviously, you know, for reasons that we've discussed here, that's not something I can outsource. But that's when I outsource it from me, is when I start to look at what is the best use of my time. Now, as a business owner, there are things in various businesses that you can say to yourself, you know what, I'm the one who has been doing all the repair on the equipment for the last 5 years. I've been doing the equipment repair on the tractors that we use to farm and bring in the harvest. I do the equipment on the vehicles because it's something that I can do. And in your mind, you feel like you're saving a few dollars by doing it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But yep. you haven't run that calculation, which is, where is my time best spent? So should I make a relationship with a really good mechanic that maybe is willing to come out to my ranch and do repairs twice a month, or do the maintenance on the ranch vehicles and so forth? So I think that that's something that as business owners, we have a tendency to look at it. If I do that, I'm saving a dollar. And I think there comes a point that we get caught in that false logic.
Well, because it's flawed, right? I know what my time per hour is. And so I'm keenly aware of that because I'm very much into metrics naturally. But
and our businesses are billed by time.
Correct. So for in some ways, it's easier for us, for you and me. But if you have a business, the first thing that I would do, and here's where we get into the practicals, right? Really, what would you consider your hourly, what is your time worth?
Right.
I mean, if you're trading hours for dollars, what is that amount? Are you paying yourself $100,000 a year? Are you paying yourself $50? Whatever that is, you know, if you're paying yourself $50, you're averaging $25 an hour. And if you're paying yourself $100, it's $50 an hour. If you come across a job on your desk, do it. Now, is that worth $50 an hour if you pay yourself that? If not, delegate it.
Right.
Whether somebody in your staff or elsewhere, right? Because your time should be working on the business if you're a business owner, not working in the business. So where do you go, right? So we were talking on the break. Where do you go if you want to find people? Well, if you own a business and there are areas of your business that you have earmarked, there are areas that you should be looking at. Portions of your sales, right? Ways to create lead generation, your marketing, it could be your accounting. Hey, speaking of accounting, you know, I get calls and emails. You know, if you have a question, I mean, we're very lenient with the knowledge that we give. And, you know, and go to greenlandhq.com, www.greenlandhq.com. Send us an email. Give us a call. If you have a quick question, I mean, I'd be happy If you talk to me and you're able to, you know, talk to me or someone in our staff, and because of that advice, you get to make $10,000, that's good for you,
mm-hmm.
right?
Absolutely.
But you don't. I don't want you to feel like you have to have all the answers. We love, we teach on the subject. We give time away by teaching these subjects because we want more people to be equipped. And then you realize, hey, I really like what you say or did, do more, then we can talk about it.
Right.
Don't feel compelled. So go to greenlandhq.com. And where should we find you?
Oh, at www.sharon-law.com, and that's SHERRON-law.com.
Hey, here's something, an endorsement for you. Now, I have referred to law firms for years and years and years, and I have given leads or, you know, basically, hey, here's somebody I need you to talk to because they want a decision from, you know, as a legal matter.
Right.
And they don't hear from the firm for days. You guys are super responsive, so thank you very much.
Oh, absolutely. We try to be.
How do you do it? I don't know.
You know, we drop the ball every now and then. So anybody's out there who's listening who's...
I apologize
who's profusely. Waited a day or two to get a phone call back. No, you're always on our mind. There's just only so many hours in a day.
So thank you. All right, so we're going to start wrapping it up. So where do you go? I think one website I go to, I mean, all you need to do is go to your search bar, you know, whether it's Bing or Google or Yahoo, whatever, and just type outsourcing. And then you're going to come up with a dozen lists. I'm sure if you did that right now, you're going to come up with are you live on the internet right now?
Yes.
Can you just do outsourcing and, you know, Google and see what comes up, you know? Because there's ways you can go. I mean, there are specialty type websites if you're looking for different niches. Now, there are some for accounting. There are some that are for blue collar, white collar. There are project based. There are multitude of websites. You should just take your time and don't be afraid to try things.
Absolutely. And also, from a just a practical standpoint, you may not have to even go to the internet. Once you assess what it is that you think, if you were not doing that one task, or, you know, going back to the example of, you know, the farmer who repairs his own equipment, if you really have to get past that fallacy in logic that if I do it myself, then I save the money, because there comes a point in time where you're doing everything yourself and your time is super valuable. You just don't realize it. You may be able to reach out to somebody, another business within the community. There may be somebody already ready, willing, and able to help you out. For example, marketing. You know, that's something that's really obvious and easy. We can outsource that because a lot of it, you know, is specialty education or specialty experience. But don't hesitate to reach out into the community right here. There's a lot of ways you can solve your problem.
You know, here's an easy one. You know, if you use social media, I mean, I use Facebook. Right. I've seen this thing, recommendations, you know, hey, I'm looking for somebody doing X. Can you recommend anybody?
Right.
And you'll be surprised how many people chime in and say, hey, right. Call so-and-so. I think people do business with people who they know, like, and trust. Right.
Correct.
And if somebody comes referred to your point from somebody you know in your sphere of influence, chances are you're going to want to talk to that person because it's highly vetted by somebody else.
Right.
So your solution may not be to do a blind search. But start with what you know. But the thing is, you have to understand that you can't just keep throwing, I tell business owners all the time, you can't just keep throwing people at the problem.
Correct.
When sales are down, let me hire more people. This is down, let's buy more equipment, or, you know, let's just throw more dollars and people at it. You got to think about your strategy first. You need to understand your numbers. Then you can figure out if outsourcing is the thing for you. And chances are, if you play your cards right, it will.
Right. And you know what? Another benefit that just occurred to me as you're talking is that's an opportunity for other people to start their own businesses as well. Have a couple of clients. One of them, really great guy, never intended to start a business. Absolutely never intended
to. What line of work?
He manufactured a high-pressure hose for a company, a friend of his that worked for a big winery. They had a hose go. They were trying to get it made. They couldn't get it made quickly enough. He happened to have the equipment, and they sent him this hose and said, hey, can you make a high pressure hose for us? He did. Next thing you know, he's getting all of their work because they decided, why try to do this in-house? And he's now got a very successful business doing one thing and one thing only.
Really?
Making high pressure hoses.
Wow.
And it's just a hose and it's a crimper and it's putting the ends on them. Hydraulic hoses.
You just never know what never opportunity know. May come. You got to be open to it. And you got to be willing to work hard.
Another client, great, great guy, cleaning solar panels. Having a really? Fantastic
build a business around you. Just
fantastic.
Not installing them.
No.
Just cleaning
them. But he
them.
Got a referral. For somebody said, hey, do you think you could do this? And he said, yeah, I can do that. And the next thing you know, off we went. So wow. It is, outsourcing is kind of the cycle of life.
Well, hey, thank you so much. We could go on and on and on, but we're grateful for tuning in every Saturday here at Power Talk 1360. You have been listening to Business and Legal Talk with Lee and Claudine. Stay tuned. We've got more great shows coming next week. Have a great week, everybody.